lot of our partners that participated in that program, frankly, had not been that explicit about it. You know, it really matters that we tell.
We're horrible at promoting ourselves.
I was trying to be nice.
As an industry, we are all bad at it.
You're absolutely right. Yes. Yes. And so being explicit about what we bring to the table and about how we provide a very important public service, you know, is really, really critical. It goes back to value proposition, but that also goes back to showing and demonstrating that value and reminding people of what it is. You know, it's for me, it's very, very personal. I grew up in newspapers. That was my first real job out of school. I have a very dear friend that's an executive editor in a nearby paper, and I want to make sure she and her reporters are at those city council meetings being nosy. You know, we know what happens in the news deserts. We know what happens when a local news organization is lost in an area. It's corruption goes up. And I think it's really important, whether it's a newspaper, a broadcast, digital first organization, to be very blunt about what we're bringing to the table and about how supporting the local news organization helps to support the community.
Welcome to the News Nirvana Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana Podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Town News. Town News delivers solutions, services, and guidance empowering local media organizations to thrive in an ever-changing digital world. Contact Town News today to learn more how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at townnews.com.
Hello and welcome back to the News Nirvana Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. With me today is Bridget Sibthorpe Mokert. Did I get it right?
Perfect.
Yes. She's the director of audience for Town News. Town News, the magnanimous sponsor of this great podcast. Bridget, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. This is one of my favorite topics, actually. I like to talk about audience, both engagement, both figuring out how to make some money off of it, which is, you know, really the point of all of us news producers, right? We do want to make a living.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it was a lot easier 25 years ago, and we're figuring new things out. But I think the best part of this conversation is just that audience is more important than it ever really was.
That's exactly right. At least as far as
our business plans. I mean, it was so transactional before, in that just we collected your mailboxes and we delivered your paper, and that was it. That was the end of it. We hoped you read it, but we could tell all of our advertisers, "Hey, we've got a circulation of 5,000, 10,000, 100,000, whatever, right?" But we can't just do that anymore. We have to get them involved, and we have to find out how to make up for revenue that just doesn't work anymore.
That's absolutely right. And a big part of that was advertising. You know, 10, 20 years ago, even longer, newspapers were able to make quite a bit of revenue from advertising and from those large numbers of distribution. And as that shifted to online, especially in the last few years, it's really shifted to consumer revenue funding the business. And so that puts the onus squarely on the customer in terms of them calling the shots. And that's a lot different than it was.
I like that, them calling the shots, because I think it's important that we note that it's when we say revenue from the reader, from the consumer, we don't just mean we're charging them more money, but they're driving where the advertising comes from and what advertising is working, right?
Absolutely. And that even comes down to the user experience, which is something that, you know, we've been thinking about a lot and working on. And they expect customers expect a different set of experiences. You know, we're up against every other e-commerce platform in the world that has these smooth, frictionless purchase. And, you know, we're really trying to build that volume, but we've got to make it easy for the customer in order to do that.
Yeah. You know, where do we, I guess let's start at the beginning. So if someone is new, maybe just shifted their paper to online, or as we're seeing a lot of just new digital publishers springing on in different communities. So, so what is a good starting point, I guess that you're finding and you talk to people about is when you start thinking of the user experience and that path through the website?
Absolutely. So at Town News, we have a lot of customers, primarily newspapers. There's some digital first publications. There's even broadcast organizations. And, you know, reader revenue is a big focus right now. And so, you know, my little corner of the world is focused on that user experience and really monetizing all areas of the website. So, of course, you know, advertising is a piece of that. But what we want to do is help our publishers build sustainable subscription or membership models. And we do that by, you know, paywalls or sort of nags that, you know, really just show the customer that, hey, we have a subscription. That's, you know, kind of 101 is you need to surface to the customer that there's a way to support us and here's why you should. And so when we think about user experience, we think about the messaging, we think about the design, we think about how we can make things easy for the customer to make it so easy to take that next step to fund the business.
Presentation mattered. I mean, you just talked about design. I mean, you know, we can't. Before, you know, I would sit in the newsroom and I just think, okay, what's the most important news? What do we have to get out? What do we have to put either on the television screen or into the newspaper? And that was kind of enough. They should read it because we said so. They should watch it because we said so. But we're engaging them now. Like, so when we present it, we're asking them, you know, what is it that you want to see? What is the news that matters to you? How should we be attacking that question?
Oh, that's a good one. And, you know, there's so many different places for people to get their news. It used to be even when digital first started, people would just go directly to the website. And there's still a lot of traffic, still a lot of people that do that. But a lot of people, their front page of the paper is Facebook. Or, you know, other social media platforms where that's where they're seeing the headlines and that's sort of their entry point. So we really have to dive deep into the data to understand where our audiences are coming from and what they're reading. And I think that just helps us as an industry or as individual publishers get better and better at what we do by understanding how people are consuming our content and where.
What sorts of data are you looking at in that? Because I think that's a really interesting point. I think the entry points, because it's not always just a Google search for your website or a direct, you know, entry of the URL. It's not even always your newsletter, although those are great entry points. But what data are you looking at so that you can drive people, whether it's from Facebook or Instagram or whatever, to get past the clever video or the clever post, right? And actually into your website and into what, you know, the product you're offering.
Absolutely. So there's a couple of sources, but it really maps back to Google Analytics at the end of the day. And we try to think about it like the traditional funnel. You know, all those sources of traffic are an opportunity. We look at GA to see where they're coming from and how long they stay. And I think there's different goals with each of those groups of people at a very, very high level. So when we think about paywalls and that sort of thing, we don't think about asking somebody to subscribe on their very first visit necessarily. What we want to do with those people that come in from social, for example, is, of course, we want to get them great content to read, but we also want to convince them that they should sign up for a newsletter or create a free account to read more, sort of incentivize them to take that next step and build a relationship with us. So we sort of have goals for, you know, many of these different audiences to help guide them down the funnel eventually to a purchase.
Yeah, those steps are really important. I think you're right. And how to, and finding the right system. And you're going to talk about the Town News system, I know, and that's good. I mean, finding that right system, right, that automates those processes.
Oh, absolutely.
So that they can track kind of where they're coming and then give them those next steps without the publisher spending, you know, all 12 hours a day.
Right, right. Well, with any reader revenue model, there's going to be some form of, you know, a payment structure and all that. And the most successful ones from a newspaper standpoint are some sort of paywall. You know, meters and paywalls have been around for a really long time, and it used to be pretty, you know, pretty simplistic. It was, you know, we're going to cut you off at 10 articles, and then you're going to get a message, and then you're going to be locked out. What we've really seen happening, and not just, you know, with our products, but throughout the industry, is there these paywalls, these meters are getting a lot more nuanced because we want to guide people through that funnel process. So you've probably noticed on a lot of different sites, a registration wall that, you know, asks you to just put in your email or sign up for a newsletter in order to keep reading. And that's, you know, something that's part of the Audience Plus system, but many, many others. And this really kind of goes back to a shift in realization of how we need to guide people through that funnel process. And that's that we need to have sort of a hybrid model. We can't just have premium content, just lock certain articles, because that's, you know, unless you're locking a whole lot every day, which can be taxing for the newsroom, it's, you know, you have to lock a whole lot of articles to get enough people to hit the wall to purchase. Alternatively, if you just have a meter set it, you know, even down to two or three, you may not be getting enough people in that funnel to meet your goals and expectations for what you'd like to grow. So having a model that can consider those different audiences and the behaviors they want and really grow with your organization is really, really critical.
And I won't ask you to talk about other people's systems. So just using your example. So when you work with, whether it's a newspaper or a TV or radio station, what are you looking at with them to figure out what those different levels, those metering is not the right word, because you just said hybrid, but I mean, sure. You know, so that it can, okay, let's figure out what content to lock, or at what point should we nudge for a newsletter, and at what point should we say, hey, look, you need to subscribe?
Yeah, yeah. So we have the benefit at Town News of having, you know, hundreds of clients on some form of paywall. We're over 200 on the Audience Plus dynamic paywall system now. So because we are able to see an aggregate of data performance, we can really understand deeply what particular things matter. You know, what makes a paywall or a subscription model successful? So we have sort of a formula that we've looked around the industry, that whole idea of getting people to register first and then subscribe. We're able to really pick up a lot of what others are doing and test that and see in aggregate what makes that successful. And so we have, like many others, kind of a formula that identifies people at different stages, and then even, you know, deeper in the categories of people who maybe have taken that step to register and are visiting more frequently, and really kind of amping up their visits in a more recent way, that identifies that they have a propensity to subscribe. So we take that and many other signals to really isolate those people that are really prime subscribers and give our partners the ability to message them more directly, to really sort of personalize, you know, even up to the offer that that person sees, in order to help nudge them to make that subscription.
Well, I'm going to come back to newsletters in a second, because you mentioned that earlier. But what you just said about messaging, though, personalized messaging, are there different ways to reach out? Are there ways that work better than others? Is it just the pop-up? You know, we've seen some people try texting services.
Sure. I think all those are great. I think email is a big one, especially when we work on collecting that email address higher up in the funnel, whether it's through newsletters or a registration or some other means like a contest. Once you have that email, it's absolute gold. You'll see throughout the industry, and Boston Globe, for example, said that in their experience, newsletter subscribers were 6 to 10 times more likely to pay. So that's a really, really key group once you collect that email.
I think that leads then to the newsletter question. So we're seeing more and more publications, and I'm going to use just broad publications, all of the news organizations, using multiple newsletters. So my, you know, my tiny little community newspaper that I run, we just have one, a weekly newsletter. But as they get bigger, we're seeing lots of, hey, do you want this silo of information every week or twice a week? Do you want this silo of information? Is that working to kind of niche out all the different pieces of the news?
I think it really is. And there are publications that use just the concept of newsletter differently. There are some that will just sort of give you a list of the top headlines. And that's great because it's, you know, identifying the information that you really want. And then there's some that have more of a long form informational sort of the article inside of the newsletter, which I think is really user friendly. It's from a publisher standpoint, it's harder to track because there's maybe not as many entry points onto the site. But it all comes down to that engagement. And I think that's why we're seeing so many additional newsletters is for the most part, they're easy to implement. They build that engagement and they build that that repeat visit that you really want because that helps get people into that content and hopefully subscribe.
Let's talk a little bit about incentives. You've mentioned those before, but I think that's an important way to talk about how to steer people through this funnel. I think, you know, obviously it's what the readers want, right? They want something for their money other than the news. They want something extra, but you know, are there some best practices? Have you found some things that work to help walk people through each of these steps kind of in the tier in the funnel?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of that comes down to value proposition and stating what you bring to the table, what you can do better than anyone else. But when it comes to paid subscriptions, a lot of the information out there from American Press Association, for example, says that it's a really great offer that pushes the people over the edge, you know, to make that decision to pay. And so I'm a big believer in the low cost subscription offers, like a dollar for 3 months or 6 months that ramps to a higher rate, like let's say $10 a month. And that's why you see Boston Globe and New York Times doing those sorts of things is because they work. The revenue is a little bit offset. So some of the publishers that haven't tried this, really have to experience it to understand the volume is so much higher that you get more revenue in that third, fourth month, depending on when that offer ends. But it's great for consumers because it's a low risk, and it's great for the publisher because you're given that much time in that introductory period to really build a relationship. You're giving yourself a few months to ramp up to onboarding, to really building that engagement with that consumer. And so, of course, you know, on the other side of the coin is the advertising. If you have a user that's just not going to subscribe, maybe they don't come to the site often enough, then, of course, the advertising's there as a way to supplement that income. But for every stage of that, you know, it comes down to the messaging for that incentive is telling the user, if you have a registration wall, it being kind of explicit about it. If you put in your email here, not only are we not going to sell your information, but we're also going to give you this article for free, or so many, you know, for free in this period.
You said the big word there, engagement. That's more than just the money. It's we have to engage them and make them a part of our process. What have you seen where people are really kind of starting to get that engaged relationship with users? Are you able to see that from your role? Are you getting those anecdotal stories?
A little bit. To be honest, I'm really...
Is that an unfair question?
No, not unfair. I'm pretty focused on the money, to be blunt about it. You know, I feel like my job at the end of the day is to help publishers make money, to help fund local journalism. But you have to get there, you have to build that engagement. Newsletters is a great way. And I think, you know, we can't forget about how important social is to draw in those new readers. I think there's also a lot of potential, frankly, with the younger generations. I have a son that's 14 years old, and just trying to introduce our kids and, you know, the teens of today to make sure they have a relationship with those important local publications is really critical. And I think that's where, as an industry, we have a lot of work to do.
I just told my 15-year-old he didn't have a choice. He was going to read the news and be a part of it. You can just force your children into things, right?
Absolutely.
It works.
The News Nirvana podcast is brought to you by Town News, the creators of Audience Plus. Audience Plus replaces your old-school one-size-fits-all paywall with a smarter metering solution that targets visitors with custom offers, converting drive-bys into paying subscribers. You can learn more at townnews.com/audience.
Well, I want to go to one of the things, though, you just said about support local journalism and letting messaging to let people know the role of the news organization, again, whether that's print or broadcast or digital only. You at Town News had a different thing. So it started during the pandemic. You actually put a, hey, here's a donor box or a button. I don't want to get in trouble. Donor boxes out of the business. but here's a donation button. And that worked. We saw a lot of people in communities actually saying, you know what, we are going to our local news organization more often than we have for the last few years. And granted, global pandemic helped us drive news. But I mean, I think it was that was some strong messaging from news organizations to help people realize this is what we do.
Absolutely. And I think to your point about messaging, a lot of our partners that participated in that program, frankly, had not been that explicit about it. It really matters that
we're horrible at promoting ourselves.
I was trying to be nice.
As an industry, we are all bad at it.
You're absolutely right. Yes. Yes. And so being explicit about what we bring to the table and about how we provide a very important public service, you know, is really, really critical. It goes back to value proposition, but that also goes back to showing and demonstrating that value and reminding people of what it is. You know, it's for me, it's very, very personal. I grew up in newspapers. That was my first real job out of school. I have a very dear friend that's an executive editor in a nearby paper, and I want to make sure she and her reporters are at those city council meetings being nosy. You know, we know what happens in the news deserts. We know what happens when a local news organization is lost in an area. It's corruption goes up. And I think it's really important, whether it's a newspaper, a broadcast, digital first organization, to be very blunt about what we're bringing to the table and about how supporting the local news organization helps to support the community.
How are you talking to publishers and news producers? Because I'm going to go back to again, we're bad at it. I mean, even if you think about, you said you started at a newspaper, or newspapers win, you know, State Press Association awards or whatever. They're horrible about promoting those, or great marketing plans and advertising campaigns to help their business partners in their communities. But when it comes to preaching their role in the community and the value of news, we don't have a great track record. So what are some of the things that you're talking with news producers about and how to create that messaging campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from a highest level standpoint, you know, we really try to gather a lot of good examples, because sometimes people just need to see it. People need an example of, you know, what the goal looks like or what success looks like. But really, I think, you know, in addition to the industry having trouble promoting ourselves, we also spend too much time looking inward and not enough time looking outward.
I like that point.
And that kind of goes back to the e-commerce stuff I was talking about earlier with the payment path and all of that. It's that we can't continue to just look at even the very best news organizations and how they operate. We have to look at what our customers and readers are looking at, the kind of experiences they're having elsewhere, because that's where we're going to get the real ideas that are different, out of the box, and that really speak more directly to our users.
It all goes back to that engagement.
Yep. Absolutely. Them.
Can you call somebody out? What are some good examples that you've seen? Can you give some shout outs to some news orgs that are getting those messages out?
Yeah, absolutely. I gotta say, we one of our most favorite partners, WIC Communications. They have several newspapers across the U.S., and they do a really good job of being not only explicit about what they bring to the table, but really updating their promotional language in a way that makes it fresh. Because one example I like to give is, you know, if you have an ad, whether it's in the paper or on a website, and if you left the pictures and the text, the copy, all of the same, and ran the same ad for a year, nobody would look at it. It just becomes wallpaper if you don't change the creative.
Right.
And WIC is that group is specifically really good at making sure that's fresh and taking the time to have different offers and finding new ways to communicate the value that they bring. And so just in a very general way, I think they do a really, really good job.
I think it's always good to recognize people that are doing well and seeing some success, not only just to remind them, but to tell others there are paths out there working. Cause I think, you know, a lot of us are just, we feel like we're just constantly searching.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's good to point over and say, hey, there's one. I'm a big believer in R&D, which is rob and duplicate. Find the people that are doing it right, make it your own.
Absolutely. Alessia, Riley, and Sean, I mean, just an incredible group of people. And it really helps us, you know, again, having so many partners and being able to see the aggregate performance, it helps us to see what's different about this group. They might have the same technological setup. They might have the same tech stack, but what's different and why are they succeeding? It's things like that. That's what sets them apart.
And if you'll allow a little shameless plug, we did have Riley on this podcast several months ago. So go back into the old episodes if you haven't listened and listen to Riley from WIC. And he'll talk a little bit about what, you know, some of the success and the things that are working for their organization. You talked about putting together the data and the anecdotal stories and the things of what works and what you're learning as we continue to evolve the way we're engaging audience and we're bringing them in and finding revenue. You have a white paper coming out that is available for anyone, not just for Town News customers, right?
That's exactly right. You can find it at townnews.com/unlocksubs. And really what we wanted to do is take the advantage we have of looking at so many different sites that have such a diverse size and model and presentation and say, you know, what's really working? Does a dynamic meter perform well? What kinds of pricing works best? Do the smaller sites perform as well as the larger sites? Do the hybrid models, you know, really perform up to par? And how does that mark against some of the benchmarks that you see out there? So we're really, really excited about this and excited to share that the fundamental building blocks of these, you know, this audience-driven approach really, really works.
Selfishly, I have to ask this follow-up because I just need to know. I don't want to wait the 10 minutes after we sign off here for me to go look at the data. But, you know, are you finding out, does it matter if you're a giant publication or a small publication? Is there one that works better than the other? Or does it just change how you'd structure?
That's such a good question. And we get that question all the time. You know, just looking at the dynamic meter sites or Audience Plus sites, they perform twice as well as what's considered the goal. And when we looked at the subset of our very smallest publications, we're talking our smallest has 4,000 unique visitors a month, very, very small. And they perform even better than the median. So they perform consistently better than what's considered the goal. And that's across all of our smaller publications. And so that was really exciting and gratifying to us to know that there is ROI there, that there is a model even for the smallest groups.
Well, that's good to know. And I'm going to go look at it as soon as there is, because I have been scared in my little news organization in my little town, I've been scared to turn on these kind of things because I'm worried they're going to say they don't like me anymore or that I'm not worth money. And
not possible.
I don't want to know. I don't want to have that kind of feedback. But like everyone else, you know, I'm looking for what is that next revenue stream? How do I keep things going and growing the news product that we've been developing here? So I know I'm going to go look at it. I'm pretty sure everybody listening is also going to go find it as well.
Awesome. Thank you. And love to hear feedback.
Okay, I'm going to shift a little bit here. I just have to know, because I'm looking at the video screen and there's a lot of Grogu, Baby Yoda happening behind you.
Yes.
Is that your nerd fandom or is that a family fandom?
It's really a very personal nerd fandom. I really love Baby Yoda. I don't think the name Grogu gives him justice, but I get it. I've been a Star Wars nerd for a long time. I really just didn't want to get in trouble
with the super nerds.
Yeah. I've been a Star Wars nerd for a long time, and I just love the whole Mandalorian series and the Boba Fett series, too. It's great.
There we go. Does that in any way provide you help in the news industry?
it definitely is a conversation starter. And I think as somebody that works in technology, it's good to let everybody know that I'm a little nerdy.
Probably does help. You do a lot of webinars. Does Baby Yoda participate?
Oh, he's there. Definitely. And you can understand how far back the webinar is by how many Baby Yodas I have, because the collection just keeps growing in the background.
Just keep getting bigger, bigger and bigger. Well, I think a little bit too, just some chance for people to know who you are and that you are basically an evangelist for audience engagement and the systems that Town News has. You said you started your first career. Your first job out of school was newspapers. You grew up around them. What is your relationship with news?
Oh yeah. Well, so I never planned to work for a newspaper, frankly. I knew I wanted to build websites and work in technology, and I have a background in IT. And so that was my first job, was actually in advertising and IT, kind of a split position. And, you know, it was a job that I applied for because my mom insisted it, because it was back in my hometown.
All the things we do for mom.
Right. And you know, it was going to be maybe a 1-year gig, and I was going to go back up to Chicagoland. And 16 years later, you know, here I am. I've had the opportunity within Lee to work for several different local newspapers, where I met my good friend that I mentioned. I was able to work in websites and technology in different roles, and then started working for the corporate office. And then just a year and a half ago, I had the opportunity to go to Lee's tech arm, Town News. And the most gratifying thing for me is I still am a big believer in local journalism. I think it's absolutely needed for our society to survive now more than ever. And so having a hand in being able to help these organizations transition and thrive is just really, really rewarding for me.
So what would your message be to let's say your community where you live, of the role of newspaper and the importance of why readers and viewers should be engaged, why they should help support the efforts of the local? What would your message be?
I think it's pretty clear. It's local news organizations, again, whether it's newspaper or broadcast, it's a fundamental piece of our society and a safeguard for democracy. We need somebody watching the government. We need somebody looking over, you know, into the things that are happening in our town, in our state, in our county, especially local news. Those decisions that are made at the local level really affect us, sometimes even more than the national political news that gets big headlines. And so it's really that important, and we really need that partnership with those organizations in our community to really be the best that we can be.
I like that a lot. I think that's a good one. And I feel on the same lines there. I think, you know, we always tell to our audience, and a lot of our news is done through a podcast format. You know, you can affect more change at a local level than you can at any other part of our democracy. So it's vital that you are in the know and participating in whatever way that is, if as simple as just voting or just getting involved in different organizations around your community. So I think that is a good message, and I assume you're going to keep preaching that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Bridget, I appreciate you taking the time for us to talk about kind of the systems that you're doing and about audience engagement and revenue generating through them. Are there other things we should talk about? People should know about?
Well, I think just at the highest level, you know, for publishers that haven't really taken the plunge and invested you know, the time and energy into digital subscriptions. I just want them to know that it works. You know, it's there is no, you know, silver bullet for
now you're letting me down.
Revenue. No, but we know the digital subscriptions work. They can work for local news, and it's working now. And it's a really good, sustainable source of recurring revenue. And, you know, no matter what your model is, there is a path to more revenue through that, you know, through those consumer journeys. And that's where, you know, I'm really excited to help.
If people want to follow or connect with you or the Town News Systems, how can they do that?
Townnews.com/audienceplus has a lot about our dynamic web technology, but you can find me on LinkedIn or on the Town News website.
Well, Bridget, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. That was going to wrap us up for this episode. We'll talk to everybody next time.
The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Town News. Connect with Town News at townnews.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcasts. Think, speak, act,